Shop the Sherwin-Williams Labor Day Sale and get 35% off paints and stains August 22nd through September 4th. With prices starting at $31.84, it's the perfect time to transform your space with color. Whether you're looking to revamp your interior or exterior, we have you covered with bold hues, soothing neutrals, and everything in between. Visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store or shop the sale online. Delivery available on qualifying orders. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
Hello, everybody. My name is Ray. Welcome to the Evangelical Dark Web. Today, we're going to be discussing Doug Wilson's based appearance on CNN. Like, Doug Wilson slayed CNN. You love to see that. Doug Wilson, you know, giveth with base takes and, you know, taketh away with some cringe takes at times. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And we're going to talk about a pretty nice, succinct clip that Doug Wilson does to advance Christian nationalism, which I find pretty interesting because I don't think that his views are necessarily Christian nationalist, but they're close enough, and he is, to some degree, someone who helped terraform the soil for the situation that would then come. He also published The Case for Christian Nationalism through Canon Press, Stephen Wolfe's book on this subject. So Doug Wilson has played a very important role in Christian nationalism, even if I would probably more succinctly describe his view as post-millennial theonomic libertarianism. So there are some differences between theonomy and Christian nationalism. I think Doug Wilson is one example where this showcases itself, but that is a discussion for a later video. But for now, we're going to discuss this clip that he did on CNN, advancing the cause of the kingdom. And this is a good thing. This is a good thing, even if, you know, sometimes we may disagree with Doug Wilson. But nonetheless, I want to see him do the Lord's work. And that is what happened in this video on CNN. So we'll get to that. But first, Evangelical Dark Web is a Christian news gathering and commentary ministry. You definitely want to sign up for a free newsletter. Had some banger articles over the weekend. Especially about calling out some hypocrisy in the pro-life movement, specifically Wasson Watches and their hypocrisy. But nonetheless, we also have a Patreon-like system that gives you access to bonus content and supports the channel and the writers. But the least you can do is like this video, subscribe to the channel, to the podcast if you are new. So without further ado, let us get on with the video. This is Doug Wilson's moment here, and it's on CNN.
Christchurch senior pastor Doug Wilson makes no apologies for his beliefs on God and country.
I'd like to see the town be a Christian town. I'd like to see the state be a Christian state. I'd like to see the nation be a Christian nation. I'd like to see the world be a Christian world.
And now Wilson's controversial views as a Christian nationalist are gaining sway in the nation's center of power with the recent opening of his new church and high-profile parishioners like Defense Secretary Pete Hegseth.
So I wrote an article on this church plant a while back. And I got to say, it was a very interesting strategy. And you'll note that they're conflating Doug Wilson with the Communion of Reformed Evangelical Churches. So they're conflating Doug Wilson with the CREC. So that's something to keep in mind with today's video. But yeah, Doug Wilson has a church plant right next to Capitol Hill in the grand scheme of Washington, D.C. And it is a bold strategy to use, you know, some celebrity influence to astroturf a church plant, because they don't even have like an official pastor. At least when they were launching, they didn't have an official pastor that would be like the full-time minister there and all that, and they're just rotating in some big names from the CREC. So this was a strategy that Doug Wilson was a part of, and I actually thought it was a good strategy to blitzscale a church. I talked about blitzscaling as a business concept last week, or, you know, this is, you know, we're astroturfing a church plant, mainly what we're doing here, and I love the idea here. I thought it was a good idea, and I want it to succeed, because ultimately, I'm not threatened by Doug Wilson's ideas that are different than mine, because I think Christian nationalism in, you know, is more, you know, it's got more legs to stand on than post-millennial theonomic libertarianism because of all three of those words. So anyway, that's what they're talking about here. That's probably the impetus for this interview, is that Doug Wilson was a part of and instrumental in preaching at, or preaching with, a church plant in Washington, D.C., right next to Capitol Hill.
planting a church in D.C. part of your mission to try to turn this into a Christian nation?
Yes. So every society is theocratic. The only question is, who's Theo? In a secular democracy, it would be Demos, the people. In a Christian republic, it'd be Christ.
Well, what would you say to someone watching this? Say, look, I'm a Muslim. Who are you to say your worldview is better than mine, that your God is better than mine?
Well, if I went to Saudi Arabia, I would fully expect to live under their God's rules.
But you said earlier that you want this to be a Christian world.
Yes.
So you want to supplant their religion with your Christian.
Yes, by peaceful means, by sharing the gospel. There's a lot of work yet to do. I believe that we are working our little corner of the vineyard.
Wilson's little...
So, again, bang up answer on the Saudi Arabia question, because she totally thought she had him. She's like, but you said... And he's like, yeah, I did. But, you know, the means are not what you think. I mean, the kingdom expands through multiple ways. And ultimately, the best way historically that we've seen the kingdom expand was that a critical mass in a nation would be Christian. And eventually that would a leader would convert, and that would lead the entire nation to convert. That is historically how Christianity has spread. And, you know, the historical seats of Christianity in the world, that is how they did it. That is how they did it. And that's also how, like, you know, Protestantism and Catholicism, like, you know, Protestant Reformation relied on this big time to succeed as well.
Little Corner, a picturesque campus nestled on the outskirts of downtown Moscow, Idaho, is growing by the day with thousands of like-minded Christians. Parishioners of his church, known as Kirkers, own and operate several businesses downtown next to liberal college town stores.
If it's true,
why did he yell boo? Because
of me.
Because of you.
Yeah. Well, you had it. There you go.
That's a regular day for you.
That's not unusual.
A big focus of his Christian movement is on a patriarchal society where men are dominant and women are expected to submit to their husbands.
Women are the kind of people that people come out of.
So this is the feminist angle that the reporter goes in with, and this has definitely ruffled a lot of feathers online, like a lot of, you know, Christian feminists have come after Doug Wilson for this clip, including, you know, like this one guy from Founders Ministry. But anyway, try and make a biblical argument against what is articulated by Doug Wilson and the other Kirkers in this segment here.
So you just think they're meant to have babies? That's it. They're just a vessel.
No, it doesn't take any talent to simply reproduce biologically. The wife and mother, who is the chief executive of the home, is entrusted with 3 or 4 or 5 eternal souls.
I'm here as a working journalist, and I'm a mom of 3.
Good for you.
Is that an issue
No.
for you?
No, it's not automatically an issue.
Josh and Amy Prince, along with their 4 kids, moved here from Washington State.
Do you see Amy as your equal?
Yes and no, in the sense that we're both saved by grace. We're absolutely on equal footing. But we have very different purposes, God-given.
But do you see yourself as the head of the household, as the man?
He is the head of our household.
Yes,
and I do submit to him.
So, like, moving here,
I was just
going to
say that
ultimately your decision.
Yes,
that's a great example.
Wilson says in his vision of a Christian society, women as individuals shouldn't be able to vote. His fellow pastors Jared Longshore and Toby Sumter agree.
In my ideal society, we would vote as households, and I would ordinarily be the one that would cast the vote. But I would cast the vote having discussed it with my household.
But what if there's your wife doesn't want to vote for the same person as you?
Right. Well, then that's a great opportunity for a good discussion.
There are some who have gone so far as to say that they want the 19th Amendment repealed.
I would support that. And I'd support it on the basis that the atomization that comes with our current system is not good for humans.
And Wilson, a veteran.
So this is something that a lot of Christians have internalized as this is first wave feminism, by the way. And I would argue that all waves of feminism were bad. This wave of feminism was specifically about upending male headship in society and also sort of in marriage as well. Like that really pairs, that really happens, going into first and then second wave feminism. And second wave feminism is what killed the birth rates in pretty much every Western country. Is like urbanization and feminism were like the two biggest detrimental things to the birth rate of the entire world. Like urbanization's kind of been a known factor. Like even going back to ancient Rome, they, had to create policies so that their citizens would have more babies because they kept moving in the cities, and cities are not conducive to population growth long term.
Get your exterior painting to-dos done easily with Dutch Boy Pristine Exterior Paint. With its rain-rinse technology, rain naturally washes away dirt and grime. Plus, it resists cracking and peeling, making it perfect to withstand the harshest weather conditions. Save big money on Pristine Exterior Paint and start your painting project today. Plus, check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for more great deals happening this week.
But when you know, women in the workplace on top of that, that just craters birth rates. And, you know, South Korea had all the right laws, but they did not have this. And ultimately, their birth rates are among the worst in the world, despite the fact that, you know, they had pro-life legislation. They banned certain activities that were not conducive to you know, sexual degeneracies and stuff like that. So they banned those stuff, but they still had a cratering birth rate. Why? Because of second wave feminism. So I would argue the Christian position is all waves of feminism were bad. It's a pretty easy case. And again, where were the Christians when the 19th Amendment was being ratified? I don't believe that you'll find the majority of Christians supporting this, because this was against the created order. If you look at the literature of the suffragettes, it was anti-biblical. So yeah, it's a pretty slam dunk case that Christians shouldn't support the 19th Amendment. Now, it is a political reality as it exists now. So it shouldn't be a surprise that, hey, you know, our wives will have to vote with us until, you know, we can actually get some common sense. And again, one of the reasons why the 19th Amendment makes no sense is right where we're about to talk to with military service.
Duran himself is unapologetic about his view that women shouldn't be in certain leadership or combat roles.
Looking at the leadership page for Christ Church, right, it's all men. Do you accept women in leadership roles in the church and in government?
In the church, no.
Why? Because
the Bible says not to.
Well, that's not what happens in the Bible. Women do lead all the time.
Progressive faith leader Reverend Jennifer Butler is concerned about Wilson's growing influence.
He is rapidly gaining in power. He has hundreds of churches established around the country. They actually literally want to take over towns and cities. And they have...
Again, they're conflating Doug Wilson with the Creek, or Crack.
Access to this administration.
Wilson is part of a broader Christian nationalist movement making inroads with the Trump administration, with a newly created faith office led by evangelical pastor Paula White Cain, and people seen right outside the White House entrance praying and speaking in tongues.
We are standing on the soil of the White House, and we are declaring your word.
How pray!
There was no speaking in tongues shown. I would have liked to have... You know, seriously, come on, CNN. Like, show the speaking in tongues to make charismatics look bad, because that's largely what a lot of anti-Christian nationalist content has focused on, was like hyper charismatics and the QAnon nonsense, which I think was always an op, but nevertheless, it was one of the most subversive movements to the right wing in the last 10 years. So, you know, usually they want to focus on that, but going after Doug Wilson's actually a little bit more unique. So credit to CNN, but Doug Wilson comes away looking pretty good here. And going back to the military service thing and like the women in service, yes, first of all, it's a bad thing that if you're throwing women on the front lines, that's a bad thing. That's pretty abhorrent on its face. You know who first started doing that was the Bolsheviks in the Soviet Union. Those were the people that first started throwing women on the front lines like it was nothing. But along those lines, like, you know, men have to sign up for the draft, so it makes no sense why women can vote to send men into war. That makes no sense. No sense. It also, you know, I also understand the argument that it does not make sense for non-landowning individuals to be able to vote either, because they don't have literal skin in the game. So those are some thoughts. Again, the Founding Fathers did not extend universal suffrage, and they had their reasons for that. They were probably rooted in common sense in a time where the Bible was much more culturally ingrained than it is now.
And now there's a monthly prayer service at the Pentagon initiated by Hegseth, Wilson's highest level connection to the administration.
It's not organizationally tied to us, but it's the kind of thing we love to see.
For his part, Hegseth has publicly praised Wilson.
Now we're standing on the shoulders of a generation later
The Doug Wilsons and the others.
Wilson's influence spans the globe with more than 150 churches. Lennox Califungwa moved to Moscow from Africa.
It's really because I wanted to be a part of a community that was doing something, and especially in building Christian institutions.
Are there other black families in this community?
Oh, absolutely. There's a few black families.
Wilson maintains all are welcome to his church, but he's also...
It's funny that she even asked him that, but even if there are other black families, like, he's an African, which is not... He's not really the same as a black American. Like, they're not even the same. Like, it's kind of funny. But nonetheless, that was pretty funny that he's like, yeah, there's other, yeah.
Also not shying away from his past controversial statements on race.
Do you still believe what you said back in the 90s, that there's a mutual affection between master and slave?
Yes, it depends on which master and which slave you're talking about. Slavery was overseen and conducted by fallen human beings, and there were horrendous abuses, and there were also people who owned slaves who were decent human beings and didn't mistreat them. I think that system of chattel slavery was an unbiblical system, and I'm grateful it's gone.
What he also wants gone, same.
The irony is that the chattel slavery system that's in the that was in the American South was largely the same chattel slavery system that was allowed in the Old Testament law. With regard to foreigners, now the Hebrews, Israelites were not allowed to enslave each other as chattel, but, and they also had the year of Jubilee and stuff like that, but they were allowed to buy slaves from foreign lands. So they were allowed to do that. And then in the New Testament, chattel slavery was all the norm because of Rome. They didn't have this exception that God created in the law. On a societal scale. Instead, they had like mass chattel slavery that was the norm because Romans had a lot of slaves. It was a sort of a slave empire, caused some issues at times because, you know, you also had middle class citizens trying to find work too. So, big issue in the Roman Empire, and yet the Bible does not condemn it in the New Testament. Instead, tells slaves to obey their masters.
Sets marriage because he thinks homosexuality is a crime.
In the late 70s and early 80s, sodomy was a felony in all 50 states. That America of that day was not a totalitarian hellhole.
So you would like America to go back to that?
Yep.
Wilson maintains his ultimate goal is to bring about the second coming of Christ through his work and rejects critics' claims he's trying to make the dystopian world of The Handmaid's Tale a reality.
I'm not a white nationalist. I'm not a fascist. I'm not a racist. I'm not a misogynist.
How far off do you see a Christian nation, like a full-on Christian theocracy?
Oh. 250 years.
250 years.
Yeah, honestly, that's
what you see. But you do think it will happen.
Yes, I do. We're not going to usher in anything ourselves. We're really genuinely pioneers.
So that's a strong clip for Wilson. And I will say, I do disagree with, you know, the idea that we're trying to usher in the return of Christ. Like, I want to make clear that, you know, as far as Christian nationalism goes, that to me is not our intention. We're just doing good. Good governance. According to the Bible, you know, the Bible has a lot to say about how to govern, especially in the Old Testament. Specifically, you know, there's two books, like 1st and 2nd Kings, like literally it's in the title, Kings. So what do those books tell us? It tells us how God judges whether a king did good or bad. Like, that's in many ways what the book is about. This king did good in the sight of God. This king did evil in the sight of God. And, you know, the first thing that comes after those every single time is, either how long they reigned or whatever, when they took over and how long they reigned, but also what they did in regards to idolatry. Did they suppress idolatry in their land? That is like the number one metric by which kings were judged on their performance. So, I don't view Christian nationalism as a means to bring about the ushering of Christ's second coming. That's not up to us. That's not really something we have control over. You know, we do not know the day nor the hour. And there's a lot that can go wrong when political theologies try to do that, whether it be dispensational premillennialist who, yeah, and premillennialism has a history of trying to usher in the second coming as it is. Munster Rebellion, 1948 and all that stuff. And then, you know, postmillennialists may sometimes fall into this trap as well. Doug Wilson kind of alluded to it, according to the CNN lady. Now, again, he might not have said anything like that, but according to the CNN lady, he alluded to that. And I just want to be clear that that's something I would disagree with. But overall, bang up job by Doug Wilson. That wasn't nearly as controversial as I thought it would be, because it was fairly agreeable for a Christian. This was, someone articulating right-wing Christianity views in a well-mannered, articulate way. Good job, Doug. More of this. Anyway, have a blessed day. Stay based. Christ is king, and we will catch you on the next one.